I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In our study of Psalm 43, we've been looking at, our last study, we looked at the believer's cry. He cries out for help. And sometimes we just don't know where to turn, even as a believer. We sometimes lose sight of the fact that God is there, God is here, and He's ready to help us. But sometimes we try to do it ourselves. And this psalmist is finding out that he really can't do it on his own, that he really needs help from God. And as a human being, even before we get saved, before we trust Jesus as our Savior, we cry out. We want to be helped, and we don't know where to turn. But today there is hope for you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants to help you. First of all, He wants to help you to have a fuller, more complete life. And He can do that because He's God, because He's the Savior. And He wants to save you. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you need to turn from your sin. And that turning from your sin doesn't save you. It just simply says, I'm willing, Lord, to take what You have from me. Come into my life and take control. I want You as my Savior. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to live for You now, Lord. And if you'll pray and ask God to save you, if you'll pray and trust Jesus to save you, He'll take you to heaven. And that's a promise that comes from the Word of God. Well, as we look further now into Psalm 43, we left off with verse 3 the last time, and it says, Oh, send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to Thy tabernacles. In verse 3 here, as we look at that verse, we see a cry for leadership. And the psalmist knows that the way out of the gloomy forest he now lives in will be found only if God leads him back to the place of victory. And therefore, he asks the Lord to lead him out of where he is and take him to where he should be. Well, the psalmist desires God's word as we read this verse in verse 3. He desires to be led by truth and light. These are the references to the Word of God. The psalmist wants to hear the voice of God telling him what to do. When we need direction and leadership in our lives, we need to look to the words of God, the Bible. It's a book that holds the solutions to all of life's riddles. We go wrong, and you know, when we reject the clear teaching of the book, the way that we as human beings think we can do it on our own, but you know, we go wrong when we think that way and we reject the clear teachings of the book. When we do that, we're wrong. We look for another way into the place of the Lord's blessings, and that's wrong. In Psalm 119:89, it says, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, what are we to do when the things of life overshadow us and we don't know where to turn? First, we turn to God. And we know how to turn to God because we get into His Word. Now, as a saved person, we need to be in His Word. We need to study His Word. And that's what the psalmist is looking at here, the light of the Word of God. It's God's words. They're going to lead us into all truth. And once again, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible is how we are led into truth. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You say, I just don't have enough faith to believe in God. Get in His Word. If you're unsaved and you've never trusted Him, study the Word of God. Go to the book of Romans and look where you're a sinner. It says in Romans 6:23 that you're a sinner. And the Bible also says there in Romans, it says, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then as a saved person, we get into the Word of God, and God leads us along. It's the light that we need in order to live a quiet, peaceable life in this world. Now, things don't always remain quiet and peaceable. You're still going to have trouble as a saved person, but the light of the Word will guide us and help us to understand the things of life. Well, we see in that verse 3, that the psalmist desires God's Word, and he also desires God's way. In that verse, he vows to follow God's plan to the place of victory in his life. Oh, many people hear the voice of God through his Word, and they see the path illuminated by his truth, and yet they refuse to walk in his ways. I'm speaking to Christians. And this is a recipe for disaster if you're not willing to follow God's truth. Only by consistently seeking God's way from his Word and by living in what his Word tells us can we ever expect God to lead us from the place of trouble to the realms of peace. The writer of Psalm 119 said it this way, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 11, Psalm 119. Well, you know, we often, as Christians, we're hard-headed and we're still human. But we need to desire God's way, not our way, not the humanistic way, but God's way. He needs to be the one who's leading us. Well, the psalmist also desires to worship God. The psalmist longs to be in the place where he can worship the Lord. He wants to be in a place of blessedness. It's hard to worship when there's trouble in your heart, and I understand that, and God understands that. It's hard to express the joy of the Lord when you are crushed under the burdens of life. However, if you are seeking His path in His Word and walking in that path, when it is revealed to you, He will lead you to the place of worship once again. Well, a great example of this is Psalm 73, where Asaph walked through a valley of despair until he looked at things from God's perspective. He was again restored to a place of worship. We need to quit living in our valley of despair and start living on the mountaintop of God. When we turn things over in our life to God, the things that don't seem right and are not right, when we do that, we are in a place that we can worship God truly. And we are lifted up from the despair that has overtaken us in our lives. Now look with me at Psalm 43 and verse 4. The psalmist says, Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Well, as we look at this verse, we see that he's in a place now where he's able to worship God, where he intends to worship God. In other words, his testimony to the Lord and to other people about the Lord. And notice with me the believer's commitment that we see in verse 4 of Psalm 43. He promises to offer sacrifices, the psalmist does, and he vows that he will make his way to the altar and offer a sacrifice. He says, I will go. He doesn't offer or doesn't refer here. He doesn't offer any other sacrifices except himself. And perhaps he's promising to do what the Lord wants all his people to do, offer themselves to him as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 talks about that. And unlike this man, we are not exiles from the altars of God. We have access to the Lord at all times. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we should not wait until brighter days enter our lives to call upon God. We need to determine, as the psalmist did, in the midst of our trials, that we will place all that we have and are on the altar for the glory of God. He will always accept that kind of gift. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Well, the believer's commitment, he promised to offer sacrifices, and he promises to offer songs. He says, upon thy the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Now the psalmist promises to rejoice in the Lord. He vows to use his abilities to praise the name of God, to praise the name of the Lord. You may not be able to carry a tune, but we need to, and you know, I get accused of not being able to carry a tune on occasion by certain people, and I'll not name names, but as we look to this verse, he says you need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In other words, you may not be able to carry a tune, but you can still praise God with your voice. And we often think of that as only using songs to do that, but God wants us to praise Him with everything we do, with our lips and with our voice. And we live in a time when praise is just about going out of style. People are either ashamed of the Lord, too bashful to praise the Lord, too stubborn to praise the Lord, too sinful to praise the Lord, too prideful to praise the Lord, or they do not know the Lord. Well, you and I may not have many abilities. There may be not too much talent in our bodies. But there's one thing we can all do. We can all open our mouths and give praise to the Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And the purpose of our worship time with the Lord is to offer praise to Him. We are to praise Him for what He has done and is doing for us. That is, we His children. It isn't a time to complain, unburden our hearts, or pass judgment on others. It's a time to give glory to the Lord. We need to be ready at all times to offer testimony to our Lord's goodness and mercy. Our lips should be ready to let people know of the hope that is within us. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an altar of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Well, the anchor of the soul is our Savior, Jesus Christ. His name should moisten our lips with sweet testimony of His glorious workings in our lives. His glorious workings in our lives should be our testimony to a lost and dying world of people who are without Christ as Savior. Now, in Psalm 43:5, we see the believer's confidence. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Well, we see here a personal challenge. In essence, he asks his soul, since God is in control of these things, why are you so upset? And we need to ask ourselves that. We need to be close to the Lord. We need to do as this psalmist did. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ first as his Savior, and then he gave praise to the Lord. He depended on the Lord to deliver him from the problems of this life. Trust the Lord. Ask Him to save you today. And if you are saved, trust Him to lead and guide you through this life, and because there's a better life waiting us when we see Him in glory. You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.